He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Curry, way downtown, bang, bang!
You don't like NBA basketball!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the GM's Office. Liam Ellison here alongside Jared Gunn as always. Jared, how are you this evening?
I'm very well today, Liam. And yourself, Matt? You're in Tokyo.
I am in Tokyo, yeah. A bit far away from home, 2 hours behind from where you are. But yep, I am in a hotel room right now. And there's, I'll tell you what, Jared, it is a very highly populated city. There's a lot of people here.
Yeah, I can imagine, Liam. But was it very quiet at the airports? Was it a little bit different because of the whole coronavirus?
Well, they say that it has been quieter, but look, to me, there's still a lot of people. It's that populated. I can't imagine what it would be like when it's normal. So, yeah, definitely been something different to what we're used to in Australia. But let's get into some fantasy basketball today, Jared. Seth Curry, and that's right, Seth, not Steph, has been absolutely unconscious in February, 59% from three, putting up around 19 to 20 points a game, and 55% from the field. This has been an unbelievable hot stretch from Curry.
Yeah, it has been, Liam. He's been shooting that three ball at a very high rate, and I don't think it's too much of a surprise, Liam. You look at his percentages as a player over the year, and it's improving all season long. He's been shooting plus 40% on the year over each of the 3 months of the first 3 months of the year. So I'm not too surprised that Curry's shooting at such a high click.
Yeah, look, he's absolutely on fire at the moment. And look, he moved up to second all-time for three-point percentage during the month with 44.2% on his career. So quite remarkable. And as you said, maybe not a surprise that he's shooting really well. But still, 60% from three, probably not sustainable. But you have to wonder, I mean, at this point, he's been on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues for a long time, as people have kind of waited for him to cool off. Now, are we at the point where you go out and pick him up, or is this a bit of a hot hand fallacy, where we just sort of go, no, this is gonna wear off. There's no point picking up the guy who is shooting unsustainably well.
No, I think he's worth a crack at this point of the season, Liam. He's been pretty consistent post All-Star break. So if he's putting up, you know, he's shooting the three ball at that high rate, Liam, and he's taking 7.3 attempts as well. So if he's knocking down 4 to 5 three balls a game, that's about 12 to 15 points in a points league. It's massive. And if he's, if he's shooting it well, Liam, the points are going to be high.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think this is a momentum play. He's playing that well. He, you know, does have the hot hand, as we said. You may as well, at this point of the season, pick him up and, you know, try and ride this hot stretch into the next couple of weeks, which may, you know, get you a few crucial wins before the playoffs. I think, you know, it goes without saying that 60% from three is unsustainable in the long run. But even if you can shoot that three at, you know, 45%, the field goal percentage might drop to 49%, etc., that's still a really good fantasy player. So, you know, I think there's a lot of room for error here for Curry, and I think he's definitely a pretty strong waiver wire ad as we head into the fantasy playoffs. He did miss Monday's game against Chicago with a back injury, but he returned the next game yesterday against the Pelicans, had 21 points, and again, 6 of 9 from 3, Jared. This has become, remarkably, a regular occurrence.
Yeah, it has been, Liam, and look, if he's shooting that high rate, Liam, it makes him a really valuable option. But in terms of fantasy, are you liking him more for categories or for points at the moment? Because I look at these numbers, he's shooting the field goal at such a high rate as well. It's 57% from the field post All-Star, as well as that high three-point rate too. So for me, I think it's the points league where I'm seeing his value right now, but in categories, there's still a bit of value too.
Yeah, I agree. I think that sort of, you know, he's a real volume player, I feel, Steph Curry. I mean, puts up some serious points at the moment. A lot of threes. I think, you know, while his three-point shooting is, you know, in the really high rungs in categories, it's obviously only one category. And even points, he's only putting up 19 to 20. So I think he does have more value in a points league rather than a categories league, as you said, Jared. So yeah, if I was, you know, looking to pick up someone off the waivers for the playoffs, I think in a points league, I would be most comfortable drafting Seth. Let's actually speak about Steph Curry now, Jared, because of course he returned today for the Golden State Warriors against Toronto. Had 23-7-7 on 6 of 16 shooting. That was after a 4-month absence, Jared, so great to see Steph back.
Yeah, it was fantastic to see him back. A lot of hype in Golden State or Oakland today, Liam, so fantastic to see. And you know, those numbers he put up, I can expect Curry to put up very similar numbers for the rest of the season. And I think the 6 of 16 shooting, you know, his usage could even be a little bit higher as the season goes on.
Yeah, and of course, you know, first game back after a long absence. He's obviously going to be a little bit rusty, so you know we should see those shooting numbers come back to what we're used to from Steph Curry. But of course, owners who held on would be pretty pleased because he has come, and what's become quite rare this season, Jared, he's come back on schedule to the T. There's been so many delays on players this season in terms of when we've been told they'll return.
Yeah, you're right, Lamb. We've spoken about it all season with the injuries and how the timelines have been all over the place. But yeah, you're right, he has come back right on time. And what's promising as well, Lamb, is Steph said today that, you know, he hopefully wants to play back-to-back. So it's not a situation where now you see me, now you don't, for Steph Curry for the rest of the season. So people that have held on, I think they're going to get their value's worth if they're still in the playoffs.
Yeah, that is huge. Because even a guy like Steph Curry, who can potentially be, you know, a top five fantasy player if he's fit and firing, if he only plays, you know, two games in a week or something, he still becomes hard to own. I mean, even though he's that valuable, the lack of volume just makes it a real struggle to actually hold on to him in fantasy playoffs. So the fact that he won't miss games and he will play, you know, if he's fit every game for Golden State is huge, and he should be a difference maker down the stretch for any fantasy owners. But there are a couple of guys who will lose value, Jared, on this Golden State team. Of course, a few waiver wire pickups there. Damian Lee probably leads the pack, but who for you do you think is now, you know, probably a drop?
Oh, well, I look at Jordan Poole and Kai Bowman as two guys, Liam. Both guys play the guard position for Golden State. And, you know, I think Kai Bowman, you know, he was filling at the point guard position, was quite good for stretches this year, but the usage is going to go way down as a backup point guard, or even if that, Liam, with the amount of options that Golden State do have now that Curry is back.
I mean, look, these are probably really niche players. Jordan Poole, Kai Bowman, not guys who are going to be owned in, you know, your 10-team leagues or anything. But look, 10% owned in Yahoo is Jordan Poole. He became quite a nice three-point streamer in categories. And for a minute there, he was putting up enough volume to be a bit of a points league player. But look, both of these guys are obviously clear drops now. Poole has been playing pretty well over the last couple of weeks, but today just 16 minutes off the bench for 2 points. So clearly that is not ownable at all. Damian Lee, though, kept his spot in the starting lineup as the starting shooting guard and had 23 points, 5 boards, and 3 assists. So it looks like, Jared, he's going to keep his value.
Yeah, he might keep his value, Liam. He actually had 17 shots from the field today, and that was higher than any of the last 10 games he's played, which was quite surprising to me because looking at that lineup, you know, Curry's going to come in and fill in a big void currently in the Golden State lineup, and Andrew Wiggins is also there too. So Damian Lee, I think he's still going to get a bit of usage. I don't know how consistent he's going to be in terms of field goal efficiency, so it's one to watch, but he's more of a streamer still for me, Liam. It's not necessarily, I think, someone I would be owning at this point too.
Yeah, look, there's been a lot of players there in Golden State this season who have, you know, teased us with some season-long potential, but none have really stuck. I think Damian Lee falls into that category as well. Hey, there's been a couple of guys who've fallen out of favor. A couple of big men towards, you know, the wrong end of the season, I'd say, Jared. Cody Zeller has especially been a pretty strong fantasy player to start the year. If you picked him up off the waiver wire, he was good, but I think he's falling out of favor there in Charlotte, as is Enes Kanter. What do we do with these two guys? They've had a couple of DNPs recently. It's not looking too pretty.
Look, I think these guys definitely going to be streaming options for the rest of the season, Liam, and it's something that you need to consider on a game-to-game basis because it seems like guys like Cody Zeller and Enes Kanter are playing depending on matchups for the teams they're playing in the NBA right now. So we saw that Kanter came back in today and had the start. He had 10 points and 6 rebounds, which isn't too bad of a result for a points league, Liam, but the lack of consistency for both of these guys just makes it hard to own them.
Yeah, as you said, Kanter has been someone who just hasn't stuck there in Boston this season. He hasn't actually played, Jared, over 30 minutes per game in any game this season. I think his season high, from memory, I had a look earlier when I was going over this stat, was 28 minutes. So hasn't ever really had that high level, you know, time on the floor to put up nice numbers. Daniel Tice has probably been the guy who's been, you know, the best center there in the Boston lineup, and he's been a late season firmer, I would say, fantasy wise. He's a pretty strong ad at this point, Tice. But look, Kanter ranked 171st in categories. He's actually 38% owned in Yahoo, which is a bit of a surprise to me. I think he has stronger points league value, but I think unless you're in a deeper league, you know, 14 team, 16 team, he's a clear drop to me.
Yeah, I agree, Liam. And like, he put 10 points and 11 rebounds up today, but we know Canada's deficiencies as a defensive player is a reason why he doesn't get minutes on the floor. So it doesn't really mean too much if a guy's putting up numbers like this if he's not going to get the time on the court.
Well, Cody Zeller, I mean, look, speaking of rotations, the Charlotte one's interesting because it seems to be the case that Zeller and Biyombo are alternating in three-game stretches as the starting center. We've had Biyombo start for three straight games, play well. Zeller registered three DNPs in a row, and then they've swapped it, and Biyombo's got the DNPs. So this is an interesting situation. Obviously, a team that's not going anywhere, they probably want a high draft pick. And you'd have to say, given they're a rebuilding team, neither Zeller or Biyombo are probably in their long-term plans. So I don't know where we go to from here. It should be noted as well, I think, Willie Hernan Gomez has served as the backup five throughout. He's a real, you know, deep league dynasty play maybe, but I think Zeller as well, Jared, and tell me if you disagree, I think he's a drop as well.
Yeah, I agree, Liam. I think he is a drop, but it's a funny one, this situation with the three-game spurts, Liam. I actually haven't seen this before, so I wonder what Charlotte are playing at right here. It's very interesting. Look, it's too unreliable for either Zeller and Biyombo to own at the moment, Liam, because whilst there are three-game spurts, there's not a lot of continuity there, so you don't know what those performances are going to be like. So, yeah, it's a very funny one.
Yeah, look, the only thing I would say is if you're feeling lucky and you need a streaming option and Charlotte have a pretty nice, you know, 3 to 4 day schedule, perhaps you have a bit of a gamble on one of these guys having that three-game spurt, because when they do get the 30 minutes per night as the starting center, they can put up good numbers, but it's just the gamble. Will, you know, the Charlotte coaching staff choose them to be the starter for tonight? That's the risk you take for Cody Zeller, a.k.a. the Big Handsome. What is this you've linked in the show notes, Jared? You've got a YouTube video here to a music video about Cody Zeller.
Well, it seems like Cody Zeller was quite the cult figure in college land, because I was just searching Cody Zeller's basketball reference the other day, doing a bit of research, and I don't know if you've noticed, it's some basketball reference. They list these players' nicknames, and I saw the Big Handsome, so I had to Google search the Big Handsome up, and I got linked to this music video, and I'm like, What in the world is this? And we've got a couple, I think, alumni from, I can't remember what college he went to, Liam, but it's a good laugh, Liam, the Big Handsome. I think we need to make this a bit more of a meme for our show.
We actually do. Look, the basketball reference nicknames are something to behold. I've seen quite a few good ones myself, and I think that's a good point you raised, Jared. I reckon we should start to bring some of these into the show. If we see any absolute beautiful basketball reference nicknames, I reckon we start to call the players by them. What do you think?
I like it. So from now on, Liam, Cody Zeller, we're not going to call him Cody Zeller anymore. It's going to be the big handsome Liam.
The Big Handsome from Indiana University. That's alumni where it was, get
Indiana
around
University.
Him. Oh, that is a crack up. The Detroit Pistons, Jared, claimed Jordan McRae off the waiver wire. This is a bit of an interesting one because Phoenix wanted to get their mitts on him after he asked to be waived by Denver due to not getting any court time. But Detroit actually came in and took him ahead of Phoenix due to their spot on the NBA standing. So Derrick Rose has gone out for 2 weeks after spraining his ankle. Unsure whether we'll see him again this season. And Detroit has responded by picking up McRae to add to their backcourt.
Yeah, it's a very good move, this lane for the Detroit Pistons, and fantasy owners will love it because there is a massive void in that backcourt for Detroit at the moment. Well, look, they did get Brandon Knight, and Brandon Knight's been pretty good, Liam, over the last five games. He's averaging 16 points, 5 assists, and he's making 4 threes a game. That's pretty good, but there is not too much there. Luke Kennard's out, Derrick Rose is out at the moment, and Jordan McRae, we saw in Washington that he can have a really strong stretch as a shooter, Liam. So I think it's a good move for fantasy owners to have a look at him right now.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, Reggie Jackson moved on to the Clippers as well. So, as you said, a big void there in the Detroit backcourt. Look, I think, you know, Jordan McRae, to me, probably does have the best upside. Brandon Knight's been decent. I mean, 5.5 assists, a lot of threes over the last four games. 4.2 three-pointers made, actually. Excuse me, that is really exceptional from Knight. Will that continue? You know, probably not at that same volume. He's probably someone worth having a look at, though. But, you know, McRae today in his first game for Detroit had 15 points on 5 of 11 shooting. 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a very so-so line. But nonetheless, he's definitely a watchlist guy, or maybe in deep leagues you pick him up and see where it goes, because someone, Jared, someone has to score for Detroit, don't they?
Exactly. You know, you look at the field goal attempts, Liam, and it suggests the usage is going to be there for Jordan McRae. It makes me wonder what's going to actually happen in the backcourt for Detroit, because Bruce Brown's around the corner. Luke Kennard's been day-to-day for a while now. So I wonder if McRae can retain a spot as a starter.
Yeah, a lot to play out there, I think, for Detroit. They're definitely one of those teams down the stretch I'd keep a close eye on, because those struggling teams towards the end of the year who have offloaded players at the deadline, and you know they're willing to bring up young guys from the G League, you can often get some great waiver wire steals there. I think Minnesota as well fall into that category, probably Phoenix, teams like that. So definitely a rotation that you should be across, I would say, going into the last month here of fantasy. Norman Powell, Jared, is back after a one-month absence for Toronto. And, gee, if it wasn't for his inability to stay healthy, he would have been an absolute revelation this season for fantasy.
Oh, he's been fantastic. Big old Storm and Norman Lane. That's what I'm calling him from now on. And I've been loving it. He was on the waiver wire in my categories league, Liam, and I was lucky to pounce. He had two really big games. And, since he's returned from that injury, Liam, he's been averaging 27 points, three threes per game as well. And the steals haven't been too bad either, Liam. So, Norman Powell, Liam, where do we see his value at? Not just now, but also next season.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He has been fantastic in the games he's played this year, obviously coming off the bench there for Toronto. But, during the 40 or so games that he's managed, he has actually put up some pretty nice numbers, with Lowry and Van Vliet both out for extended periods. That, to me, is the question, Jared. Will Van Vliet possibly move on? Because he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. And, there's not a lot going around on the free agency market this season. So will someone get a little bit carried away and offer him big money that he can't refuse?
Yeah, maybe, Liam, but I don't know. Where's the money in Toronto being paid, Liam? I know there's going to be a massive void soon. Are they saving up for next year when Giannis comes out of free agency? You'd think they have to re-sign Fred VanVleet. He's a massive part of their success as a team. So It's interesting, but on the off chance that he does leave, it looks like it could be even better for Norman Powell, even though Norman Powell's playing well at the moment with a full lineup.
Yeah, I think, even if Norman Powell is the sixth man for Toronto, or another team, he'll be a really good player. He's just proven to be a great scorer at good efficiency over the last season. But if he does manage to get a starting lineup spot, Jared, be that in Toronto, be that on another team, I think he's definitely a guy you should be drafting, at least inside the top, maybe 100, top 120, because he's got some serious upside as a scorer and three-point shooter.
Yeah, he does, Liam. I'm thinking that Norman Powell next year could be a massive steal in a lot of drafts. So, look, I wouldn't be drafting him too high, like you said, Liam, but I think there's a good chance that you could get him at a good pick next year. So I'd be watching Norman Powell for the rest of the season to see how he gels with that Toronto lineup, whether he's got a more dominant role or if he's playing behind some of the starters. Have a good look.
Yeah, well, Fred VanVleet might be out for a little while longer. Who knows? He's out with that shoulder injury. He's day-to-day at the moment, but he's missed the last four games, so perhaps we'll get a little bit more of Storm and Norman as the starting shooting guard. There's been another player who's returned from a long absence recently, Jared. Otto Porter Jr., another four-month absence for him, along with Steph Curry. He returned finally for Chicago. So, look, owners who would have drafted this guy probably in the top 80, I doubt they would have kept him, but he's back. He's back, Jared.
Yeah, it's the first game he's played since November, Liam. So he's played two games already. The first game he had 18 points, 3 assists, and the 3 threes as well, on really good field goal percentage, Liam. And he only played 17 minutes, but he followed that up with only 2 points of 1-of-8 shooting. So that's Otto Porter for you. That's the inconsistency we've gotten all season when it comes to his injuries. So it's just translated to his form, Liam. So, you know what this really points out to me, Liam? This is someone that I will not be taking very high at all in my draft next season just because of his injuries.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to really discount the risk surrounding him with his injuries. Definitely a guy that you'd have a look at if you could draft him at the right price. But, at his best, he can be, a top 75 guy, but there's simply no way you can take him in that range with the risk that surrounds him. But speaking about this season, what do we do with Otto Porter? I think some people would have picked him up. He's available on your waiver wire. He's healthy again. He's got high upside. He ticks all those boxes. Obviously, he's there, you take him. But, how many more of these two-point performances do we sort of stomach, Jared, before we think, this might not work this year. I might go for someone else.
I think it's really based on position, Lamb. I know there's a few leagues that probably haven't reached their playoffs yet for fantasy. So if that's the case, Lamb, I'd probably be staying away from him if you're in the race. But if you're at the top, it might be worth a look right now. Because Otto Porter, he can string along some really good form as a player. But I know, for example, Lamb, we've hit the playoffs in one of our points leagues at the moment, and I can't touch Otto Porter Jr. I'd love to, but I'm in a position where I need to win, and I can't have these two-point performances.
Yeah, it's a good point you make. I mean, look, we should probably get into that because fantasy playoffs are just around the corner for a lot of leagues, and even started in some who might do the old, you know, two-week per-matchup playoff setup. So, you know, there'll be some people who need to win now, as you said, Jared, you're doing it. I'm doing it as well. In fact, I'm in a world of trouble in that ESPN points league that you speak of, and I'm streaming for my life at the moment, and I can't afford to wait on guys like Otto Porter Jr. So I agree, it is situational. But speaking of the playoffs, I mean, I think it's a good chance to have a chat. We need to start preparing. You know, even if you're not in the playoffs this week, Jared, you're 2 weeks away. There's a lot of leagues that are weekly lock leagues. They have matchup acquisition limits. I think you look at the schedule ahead of time, pick up guys who have those four-game weeks. I think it's a good chance, Jared, to do that right now.
Yeah, so you've got hashtag basketball's advanced schedule grid, Lamb, which is a fantastic tool to use. That's something I'd be looking at, Lamb. And like you just mentioned before, Liam, the injuries at this time of the year can be paramount. And depending on your position, you cannot risk guys that are day-to-day or just even out generally with no schedule, scheduled timeline at all. I'm in that position right now with guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, who's been out for four games, and Tristan Thompson as well, who's been out for five. And it's extremely frustrating because I really want these guys if I make it deeper into the playoffs, but I can't afford to hold them if they're not going to play at all.
Yeah, it is a really tough spot. It is, you know, Clint Capella is a good example of this. Obviously a guy with, you know, when he's healthy, really valuable player. But at the moment, he's about 2 weeks away from returning, and there's even a chance that he won't return at all. And there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding his situation. So how much do you wait out for these guys? I mean, I think if you're at all at risk of losing your matchup because you have a player who's not providing any points, you have to drop him. Even if it is Clint Capella, it could be D. Rose, it could be, you know, Rashawn Holmes, who's been out for a lot longer. But, you know, guys like this, sometimes you just have to, you know, chuck your lineup in a spreadsheet, chuck your opponent's lineup in a spreadsheet and see what the projections say. And if they say you're at risk, you've got to bite the bullet. We can't fall in love with these players, can we?
No, you can't, Liam. You need to take the emotion out of your decisions, Liam. I know some of these guys have been fantastic players in fantasy for a long time, but they're not going to help you if they're not playing.
That's it. Go hard or go home. Give it all. It should be good fun. Hopefully, guys, you come away with a fantasy league win.
Liam, I'm just going to interrupt you very quickly. I'm going to interrupt you very quickly before we finish the show today. Look, we've been on the topic of some funny names in the NBA in terms of nicknames. We've had the Big Handsome today. We've had Storm and Norman. But on a funny note to finish the show, Liam, did you hear about the player that the Cleveland Cavaliers have signed for a 10-day contract?
I have not.
They've signed a player called Sir Dominic Poynter, Liam. That's right, his name is Sir Dominic.
So, hang on. So, first name Sir, middle name Dominic? How does that work? Run me through it.
Well, look, I'm on an ESPN page right now, Liam, and it's literally Sir with an apostrophe and then Dominic. All is one word, basically, Liam. I just saw this when I was doing a bit of research just before the show started, and I had to mention it because I want your opinion on Sir Dominic Poynter.
Hats off to the parents of Sir Dominic, because that is a ripper name. And that is, imagine the announcers there in Cleveland. They'll be all over that. Sir Dominic Poynter. I hope he's a good player, Jared. I hope he sticks in the NBA, because that'll be fantastic to talk about on the podcast.
We'll have to mention him next pod, Lamb, and see how he's going with that 10-day contract. And hopefully he's a guy that we can be adding in the next few weeks for the playoffs.
Hey, speaking of crappy teams, so you might be able to, you know, take advantage of some late season G League pickups. Maybe Sir Dominic Poynter is going to be the guy we're speaking about in a week's time. I hope so. I certainly do.
Look, if Sir Dominic Poynter can win me the playoffs, Liam, I'll be getting a Sir Dominic Poynter jersey. That'll be definitely happening.
I'll happily help fund that. I reckon that'll be an absolute classic. We'll get it on the next show. Oh, dear. All right. On that note, I reckon we should finish it up. All right. I'll speak to you, Jared, in a couple of days' time. Thanks for listening, everyone. We are the GM's Office. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Catch you next time.